Let's get right to our reporter in Ukraine, Joseph Lindsley. Joe, was it a quiet night, I hope, there near where you are in Lviv, close to the Polish border?
Hey, Bob, good afternoon. It was. We had one air raid alert at about 5 o'clock in the morning, but no news and absolutely quiet. Nothing further, really. And actually, this is sort of my morning, too. I've been sleeping from about 11 to 1 o'clock, and we're trying to keep our newsroom staffed 24 hours so we can keep the world posted. And it's calm here, but while it is calm here, it's been a very difficult day in the city of Mariupol. Yesterday, there was a theater that was the Russians attacked. The theater was a shelter for mainly women and children. And on the street outside of it, they had written in large letters, "Dite," which means children, hoping that it would not be attacked. And that was attacked. So we continue to see, especially the cities of Kharkiv and Mariupol are under siege and facing terrible attacks every day.
I want to play a little piece of music here that President Zelensky played while showing Congress that video yesterday featuring the scenes of destruction. Let's listen to a couple seconds of this, and then we'll talk about it. Here it is. Joe, I know that music is very meaningful to you and people in Ukraine. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called the Melody from the High Pass. It was composed by the great Ukrainian composer Skorik, who died in 2020. Throughout the 20th century, he was one of the great musicians and composers of this country and of Europe. And his music epitomizes the sort of gentle serenity of the Carpathian Mountains. And Zelensky played, when he was speaking to Congress yesterday, he showed a video of some of the worst scenes of destruction, especially attacks upon civilians, to the soundtrack of that music. And so it was a reminder of, because I think the world right now sees only the destruction of Ukraine. They see sort of this hellscape. And that music is a reminder that this, it's a breadbasket of Europe. It's a beautiful country that has been a free country, especially for the past 8 years. And that music, sort of that piercing melody. I was watching it in a cafe and with the staff at the cafe, and we all had tears in our eyes. It was almost too painful, but also a reminder of why everyone here wants to keep fighting.
Also, Joe, I saw the interview that you posted on YouTube with a man by the name of Teddy Verona, who actually couldn't concentrate on his job in Mexico and had to go to Ukraine to fight. Tell us a little bit about him and what he told you about the bravery of Ukrainian people.
Sure. And as I've mentioned, we've had all kinds of people come into our newsroom seeking help in some way. And Teddy and two other soldiers showed up, and when they found us, they said, this is the resistance, like in a movie. And we gave them some coffee and said, share your stories with us. And Teddy had been in the trenches outside of Kyiv, and he served in Afghanistan. He's a well-experienced Marine. He said nothing in his career has prepared him for how awful it has been in those trenches facing the Russians. And he said it's not the Russians do not care about their soldiers and their troops. He says you can hear the screams of dying Russians abandoned on the battlefield. It's absolutely brutal. It's like they're being driven by a slave driver. But what they have is numbers and they have equipment. And in the Ukrainians, what the Ukrainians have is sort of the great anti-tank weapons from Europe and the West. And they have Ukrainian bravery. But they're still lacking some basic, you said socks. I mean, there's trench foot. This is stuff that we thought would never happen again after World War One. And Teddy said both the awfulness of the trenches, but also especially the bravery of the Ukrainians is the sort of things that he's only ever read about in the stories of Rudyard Kipling or Ernest Hemingway.
He really admired the bravery of the people and of the soldiers. And as you say, this was somebody who served in Afghanistan, and he's an impressive guy himself, isn't he?
Yeah, and one of his colleagues from Britain told us a story. There was a kid, an intellectual, about 19 years old, and he did one of the most courageous things during their time in the trenches. He stood up amid incoming fire and targeted the source of some of that fire, and took the time to aim his weapon, and something that, even these experienced warriors said they would have been much less calm than this kid. And the kid fired at the house, he hit the target, and then he said, "I hope I didn't kill anyone." But he knew he had, because he had targeted so well. And so even a 19-year-old Ukrainian, has inspired the bravery of that kid. Is something that these got hardened veterans said they've never seen before in all their time fighting, including in Afghanistan.
Unbelievable. How is the information war going? I was talking to somebody last night, Joe, who told me that he saw information that led him to believe that some of these schools and hospitals that are being bombed in Ukraine are actually chemical labs. And many people are thinking that. That's, I guess, a part of Russian propaganda mostly, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. But I've been hearing this chatter, and it's increasing from Americans. And I will say, the Harvard historian Richard Hofstadter said in the 1960s, there's a paranoid style in American politics. So I think that there is a certain receptivity sometimes even to the Russian propaganda. And so this is a developing narrative. I'm starting to get sort of crazy questions even from people who know me well. Wondering, if this is all real. I think a problem with American discourse. But by all accounts here, we have video. The hospital's filled. We have, by all accounts, civilians have been attacked from day one of this. And that's why I was, talking with Teddy and the two Brits that came here. That was my first conversation with English speakers, and actually with anyone that's been in the trenches. And so, one mission we have, as we go forward here, is to get more and more of those stories so people can hear that this is absolutely real, absolutely terrifying, and even to hear, how scared the Russian soldiers are. And we begin to see that this is the madness of one guy and those, Putin and those who allow him to stay in power. So the best we can do is continue to report these. And look, for example, when that military base outside of Lviv was attacked on Sunday, the Yavoriv polygon, that has always been, a mysterious place. Because Ukraine has to protect itself. NATO has trained Ukrainian warriors there for almost 8 years. Ukraine has been somewhat secretive on how bad that destruction was. That's understandable. And I think, as the media, we realize, okay, it's war and every side has to play the information game. We certainly realize that. And that can be a complexity for sure. The best thing I can do as a journalist here on the ground is say, collect the stories of individual people that have had the real experience, the people who've suffered, the people who've taken the bullets and fired the bullets themselves, and the people who've helped the women and children get to safety. There was a story in the suburb of Kyiv today about a mother who died while protecting her 4-year-old kid. And we see the Russians have also hit media and killed some Fox News contractors and cameramen. So this is real. The Putin's regime is absolutely ruthless. It's something like Hitler. And to hear these hardened, these guys who fought the Taliban say that there's a whole new ruthlessness with what they're facing right now. And so the best we can do is share that with the world.
Joe, I want to leave you with something that I know will bring a smile to your face. It was a late night, but a great night for your alma mater, the Fighting Irish. Winners last night.
Oh, fantastic. And today is St. Patrick's Day, so it's good to hear that news. I guess it is March Madness now, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, you've got some madness there that no one should have to deal with. We appreciate, as always, your reporting. All the best to you, Joseph, and I hope you stay safe there in your news bunker. And again, thanks for the reporting.
Thank you, Bob.